giving me this privilege to bring God's word this morning. If you are visiting with us for the first time, I apologize. That I hope it won't be a reason that you will come back next week to hear James. Sometimes I get up here and I really feel inadequate. And that made me think this morning of something that Danny Kaye once said to Red Skelton. Red Skelton was telling Danny that there were times that he got up on the stage that he didn't really feel funny. And Danny said, "Don't worry, Red, every time you're up on the stage, it's funny." And he said, "Thank you." And then he stopped and he got to thinking about that. Maybe that's not what he meant. Anyway, let's go to the word, Lord, in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, this is truly your time, your hour. Father, this belongs to you. I pray, Lord, that you would find our worship and our devotion to you acceptable, Lord, this morning, and that we would be open and receptive to the message that you have for us. Father God, it's not me, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak through me and have everything that you want to convey to us this morning to be said. Father God, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. But thank you, Lord, for your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask you this morning what you thought was the greatest need in the church today, what would you say? Or do you even think that there's a need in the church today? But when I look at the church and I look at the history of this world, the history of the church, I see back in the 1800s especially, there was more before this, but especially the numbers of missionaries that were sent out to various countries from England. And there were always new missionary groups popping up and sending people out. Their people were coming forward and volunteering to be missionaries and to go and spread the gospel to other countries. In the late 18th century, early 19th century, we had the same thing here in America. We had people coming and volunteering. We had missionaries going out from many, many organizations and churches across the United States. But look at it today, folks. What do you see? Look at the state of our world, and I'm going to ask you, you may not know the actual numbers or have an idea, but I can tell you that the number of people that are volunteering to be missionaries, to go out and take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, is very, very low. Do you remember Jesus told his disciples, he said, the church is his instrument for reaching the world. And what did he say about his church? That the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Now, look at our world today. Do you see our victory against the gates of hell? I certainly don't. As a matter of fact, I see a church cowering in the corner, and I see a church in retreat in the face of evil. Now, how can we be God's instrument? How can we be a church where the gates of hell would not prevail against us? What's missing? So I go back to my original question, Richard.
Do
Well, we do. We do. Well, in some ways, but even more so than that. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And I say that, folks, because the Holy Spirit is the essence of God, and it is the power behind the church. And before I go any further, let's just turn to the scriptures. I want us to see this morning just how God initiated this movement called the church, and what he used and how he got it started. I'm going to read the scriptures from the bulletin, so just so we have conformity this morning. So if you want to follow along. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Ghost to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brothers. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, if I were to ask you if we if we agree that our need in the church today is the Holy Spirit, I want to ask you a question. Do we want the Holy Spirit? Do we want revival? Do we want to see God move in and through the church today? And be careful how you answer. Think about it, because we're going to talk about what God has done here. You see, the church today, and I it may not be every church, but many denominations, you might ride by a church going down the street and see a sign that says revival. A big banner hanging out front says revival. I have a problem with that. I'm sorry to say if I upset anyone, but the problem I have with that, folks, is that we don't just decide we're going to have revival. Revival is a movement of the Holy Spirit, and that only comes in certain fashion. Now, there are two things required here. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to get into the scripture lesson this morning. But the idea of us saying that we're going to have revival is so presumptive. I'm sorry to tell you, it really is, because of this. First of all, as I said, revival is a movement of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit only moves as a result of prayer. Now, I'm going to prove that to you by what happened here at Pentecost. First of all, God said to his people, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave. Now, you have any idea why he told them not to leave Jerusalem? Because they weren't prepared. They were not prepared. God saw and knew what the need of his people were. And they didn't have what they needed. And that's why he said to them, you wait until the promise of the Father is given you. Now, that's another thing. We don't seem to understand the biblical way God wants us to wait. You know, we get into this worldly fashion today of saying, sit down, twiddle our thumbs and say, okay, I'm waiting. Where is it? But God's idea of waiting is to tarry together, is to pray. God said he would send the Holy Spirit. So our waiting is to be in prayer, waiting for God to send that Holy Spirit, asking, seeking, praying together. That's God's idea of what waiting means. And that's why he told his people to wait. Wait, because I'm going to do something with you, but you are not prepared to go out yet. Now, I said the Holy Spirit only comes as a result of prayer. But there's a reason for that. Because God demands, God wants two things of us, his people. Two things. In order to send the Holy Spirit, he wants a willing vessel. That is, he wants us to be willing to be used, to be filled and used by his Holy Spirit. But at the same time, God demands that we be clean vessels. So if we're waiting, if we're saying, oh, Lord, send the Holy Spirit, and we've got sin in our lives, it's not going to happen. And that goes for a church basis to a church gathering. If there's sin in the camp, as they used to say, it's not going to happen. God wants willing vessels, and God wants clean vessels. Look what the apostles did. They gathered together. You know, we don't see any evidence of somebody coming into the upper room and saying, well, hey, Sam, hey, Ernie, anybody have any idea why we're here? The idea is they came together for one, and the Bible says, of one accord. They knew the purpose they were there. They were unified in the purpose that they were there. And so, waiting, seeking, and praying together, God sent his Holy Spirit. Now, why did I think this morning that this was a topic that we needed to hear? And really, this, I didn't know what I was going to bring this morning until last Friday. God God just laid it on me. We have been talking as a church, and it's a subject that many churches are discussing about being more evangelistic, being more thoughtful of the lost, and reaching out to reach the lost. So that involves the idea of witnessing. Most times when you say witnessing, people start slinking down the seat. You know, I don't have that skill. I don't have that capability. I can't talk to people. Anybody feel like that? Well, of course you can't. And neither could they. Neither could Peter and the apostles and those women. If Jesus had said, I want you to go out and to the highways and hedges and talk to somebody and tell them about me, how do you think they would have done? Well, I know. I would have maybe went to the coffee shop and sat down and said, I'll just tell them I went and talked to 50 people, you know. They couldn't do it either. They were fishermen. They were farmers. They were craftsmen. They were women who worked with wool and made things. And they weren't social people, which is what makes this amazing. They weren't social people. But what happened? When God sent the Holy Spirit, and he came and filled their lives, what's the next thing you read? They're out on the street. They're talking to people. Not only are they talking to people, but people are hearing the message that they're speaking in their own tongue. And matter of fact, somebody even said, aren't they all Galileans? In other words, fishermen. And yeah. Well, how is it they're so knowledgeable? How is it they're so bold? Ladies and gentlemen, we can't do it either. I tell you, anybody from seminary who is told that they need to get out and witness is going to be shaking their boots. You have a few, but they're not really concerned about results or anything. I mean, results are up to God, but if I encourage somebody to come to Christ, that's one thing. If I don't, well, that's fine too. The idea is this comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I want to bring this out to you this morning is for encouragement. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us and empowers us, it's no longer us. He just wants me to go. He does the talking. He does the action. It's all God. Like I said, he's just looking for willing vessels, clean vessels to take his message. We're his legs. We're his eyes. But everything that is done is God. That's why I can't claim anything about, oh, I saved this soul or I led this one to Jesus. God did it. I was just a robot he used. But you see, we get these hang-ups. Now, let me get back to my original point. The church, to use another phrase, the church is dead in the water. That's an old Navy term. It means there's no power. You're dead in the water. You're not going anywhere. And the church isn't going anywhere. And I believe personally, I'm not going to call it doctrine or nothing like that, but I believe personally that's why God is going to allow persecution to come. Because it's persecution that stirs us up, gets us calling on God, and works to help us get our lives right. And when that happens, God can work. God can move. He can do things in and through us when we are more pliable, so to speak. But I want you to look at the after effect. The after effect, that whole thing. You read down the end of that thing and it says that God added to the church over 3,000 souls in one day. One day, 3,000 souls. Now hold on. It wasn't Peter that added 3,000 souls. It wasn't John. Huh? Weren't they there? Weren't they out witnessing? Yeah. But this tells us the truth. It was God who added. It was God who moved through them because they were willing. And they went. And God added 3,000 souls. Now, I just want to tell you, folks, I'm not going to drag this out, but I want to tell you something this morning. First of all, I asked you, do we really want Holy Spirit revival? And I said, be careful how you answer it. For this reason. If you go to any church, congregation, ask any pastor, do you want Holy Spirit revival? Absolutely. Yes, no question. Prove it. What are you doing to bring that about? What I say at the beginning, the Holy Spirit never comes except in answer to prayer. Are we praying? I mean, are we really praying, asking for the Holy Spirit to come? Are we really praying for God to cleanse us and to make us worthy vessels of carrying His word, of carrying His Spirit within us to reach out to other people? Do we really want it? Are we really willing to go to the mile to pray? You know, the problem is, and I think Bob and I were discussing this the other day, the problem is we have too many distractions. We have TV, we have computers, we have telephones that you can do anything on. And so when the time comes to pray, well, I got to send this email. Time comes to pray, I want to talk to this one. Or I've got to look this thing up on the computer. There's always an excuse. They didn't have those kind of excuses. They did have their own, but not as many and not as diverse as we have. What I'm saying is we have to be willing to say, getting the Holy Spirit here, changing your church, changing our lives, and changing what's happening in our country is more important than these things. And we have got to focus, we have got to assign ourselves to prayer. That's the only way things are going to change. You know, Jesus said, the Old Testament tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, who's that? You and I. Not the world out there. Not the world doesn't care. Not the world is part of the problem, although we have our own part in the problem. If my people will pray, give up our sins, God says, take a look at your land. It's a mess. And you know, we get into a problem, and I say it myself, I hear myself say it all the time. Well, wait till the election. Things will straighten out then. No, it won't, folks. We're trading one human being full of error to another human being full of error. Nothing's going to get better. But God said he himself would heal our land if we are willing to pray, if we are willing to forsake sin and seek God, seek his face. He would take care of things. But yet, we kind of, that must not be true. No, we're gonna do it the other old-fashioned way. We're going to elect somebody who's going to change things. No, it's not going to happen. But I want you to see the bottom line. 3,000 souls added in one day. I have every reason to believe that after that day, at the close of that day, Peter and John were standing there and looking at each other and saying, "What just happened?" They had no clue. God was working through them. All they were doing was let God do what he wanted to do. And that's all he's asking of us, folks. Let me do what I want to do through you, but are you willing? Are you going to be my church where I can use to reach a lost and dying world? If we let the Holy Spirit come as a result of our praying and seeking him and fill us, stand by, folks. You have no idea. You want to see the church come alive like never before? Let God have his way. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, truly, Lord, we do want a revival. We do want the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we give grudgingly. We're not willing just yet to give up our time, maybe to shed those nagging sins. But Father, we ask you to make us willing. We ask you to come and give us a desire in our heart to be holy in your presence, to be wholly yours, and Father, to seek the filling of your Holy Spirit that we might be the church that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name.